Our first scripture reading today is from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child has been born for us, a son given us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The second reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at the rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people of Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go, search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
And let us pray. O Holy God, may the words of my mouth, the thoughts of all our minds, and the meditations of our hearts, may they be acceptable to you. In all we do and say, may we remember that your Son, Jesus, was born for all of us. We pray in his holy and precious name. Amen. Well, it's been years since I have had an Advent calendar in my home. As a church professional, I am usually quite aware of how many days remain until Christmas, so I have not felt the need to have a calendar countdown for it at home. But with a new baby in our house this year, we decided to get one. Actually, my mom decided to get one for us. As you can see in this picture, our Advent calendar is a colorful stand-up wooden tree. There are 25 magnetic ornaments, and there are 25 spots on the tree for the ornaments numbered 1 through 25, starting at the top. Our first instinct was to put the ornaments on in numbered order according to the date on the calendar. So on December 1st, we put an ornament on the spot at the top of the tree marked with a 1. On the 2nd, we put the next one on the spot just below, marked with a 2, etc. for a couple of days. A few days in, however, my husband noticed that in the instructions on the back of the tree, it was suggested that you start with 25 and work your way up to number 1. So we switched directions. I suppose it's more of an actual countdown this way, but I must admit, it's been a little confusing because we've missed a couple of days in a row here and there. In order to figure out how many ornaments we needed to put on the tree to catch up, we had to count how many were already on there and then compare that number to the calendar date, which then required us to do some math in order to identify how many ornaments were required. Going by calendar date number order would have been a lot easier. Of course, this is really no big deal. It was a very minor stumbling block on our road to Christmas. And really, isn't the road to Christmas usually filled with stumbling blocks, minor and not so minor. We sing about how this is the most wonderful time of the year, but for many, it's far from wonderful because of their particular stumbling blocks. There's the gift list that keeps getting longer. There's the numerous family and work obligations that leave you barely able to breathe, let alone find a moment for Christmas reflection. There's the baby who still won't sleep through the night, or the womb that remains painfully empty. There's the bank account or the credit card statement with numbers that frighten you. There's the diagnosis that paralyzes you with worry. There's political unrest that shouts at us from every direction. And there are the ghosts of loved ones past who emerge in new and powerful ways this time every year. There's the well-nursed grudge you can't seem to release. And of course, there's the nagging sense you will just never be good enough, attractive enough, smart enough, successful enough, etc., etc. We love singing Silent Night, Holy Night this time of year, not because we know holy silence so well, but rather we love singing Silent Night because we need a silent night. We need some holy peace, some joy, some love, and yes, we desperately need some hope in this broken, weary world of ours. Though our nativity scenes usually depict something holy and serene, no stumbling blocks whatsoever, today's Christmastime story from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2 is anything but holy and serene. It's a story that reminds us just how broken and weary our world truly is, and just how desperately we need the hope Jesus brings. In Matthew chapter 2, we get a story that is familiar to many of us, the story of the wise men's visit to the young Jesus and his parents. The wise men would have been from somewhere in the Middle East, not too terribly far from Israel. And they would have been wise in many subjects, philosophy, math, science, art. For this story, their knowledge of the stars is most important, because the wise men were astrologers, trained to look for and to read signs in the stars. At the time, all sorts of different religious traditions throughout the Middle East taught that stars announced the birth of royalty. So when the wise men saw the famous Christmas star appear in the heavens, they followed it westward to Jerusalem. They went to Jerusalem because the star rested in the sky above Jerusalem. Plus, it was the capital city of Israel. They figured that surely someone in the nation's capital would be knowledgeable about natal stars and would happily tell them about the newborn king that had been signaled by that star. As it happened, the nation's leader was not happy at all. See, at the time, there was a king named Herod who was in charge of the Jewish people in the area surrounding Jerusalem. Herod had been placed by the Roman government that was occupying Israel at the time. Rome was really in charge, so even though Herod was something of a puppet king, he relished the power he had, and he certainly did not want to lose it. As the story goes, King Herod heard that these wise men from the east had come to Jerusalem looking to honor some newborn Jewish king. This didn't make Herod very happy. He was the Jewish king. He wanted to continue being the Jewish king. He wanted people to honor him. King Herod was power hungry and very fearful of losing his power. In fact, he was so fearful and so power-hungry that when he heard about and became paranoid over the birth of this baby king, all of Jerusalem became fearful as well. King Herod's paranoia was so great that it trickled out from his palace and all throughout the city. Have you ever known someone whose irrational fears quickly turned into irrational behaviors that affected those around them in terrifying ways? That was Peter. Now, Herod himself was not very knowledgeable about Jewish law and history, so he gathered some Jewish scholars and found out from them that the Messiah, the ultimate Jewish king, was to be born in Bethlehem, just a few miles outside of Jerusalem. Then, not wanting to waste his own precious time hunting for this baby king, Herod called the wise men to pay him a visit. When the wise men arrived at King Herod's, he told them, "Go to Bethlehem, search diligently for this child. When you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and honor him." The wise men then went to Bethlehem, found the baby Jesus, and joyfully honored him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, offerings fit for any king. Then, in a dream, the wise men were warned not to go back to King Herod in Jerusalem. So, after honoring the baby Jesus and leaving their gifts, they went back to their own country by another road. They went back home differently than they came, without talking first to King Herod. That's the end of today's reading. However, this particular story isn't quite finished. See, Herod had wanted the wise men to return to tell them exactly where the baby king was, not so he could go honor the child like they had, but so he could destroy the child. In the few verses after today's reading ends, Herod got so angry about the wise men not returning to him that he ordered his soldiers to go to Bethlehem and kill all of the baby boys under 2 years old. You see why all of Jerusalem got scared when Herod got paranoid? Herod got scared, and children eventually died as a result. By the time King Herod's henchmen carried out his evil plot on the baby boys of Bethlehem, the Holy Family was long gone. Like the wise men who were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, Joseph had been told in a dream to take refuge in Egypt with Mary and Jesus. But despite our supreme concern for the baby Jesus, his safety doesn't make it any easier to comprehend the violence Herod committed simply because he was so desperate to hang on to his power. In the Gospel of Matthew, the Christmas story is a story of dreams and stars, of divine prophecy and guidance. It's also a story of evil, paranoid, power-hungry leaders, and about how Jesus and his message stand in stark contrast against the evil, paranoid, power-hungry leaders of this world. The Christmas story is a story about Jesus, the Prince of Peace, bringing hope to a violent, hate-filled world. In verse 4 of Silent Night, Holy Night, we sing, "Wondrous star, lend thy light." The star of Bethlehem, the star that led the wise men to Jesus some 2,000 years ago, is truly a wondrous, hope-filled star. For when we follow it, we are led to Jesus. And when we are led to Jesus, may we be like the wise men who gave King Jesus their best gifts and who then returned home by a different way. They left Jesus different than when they arrived. Perhaps they left inspired. Perhaps they left determined to bring more love into the world. Perhaps they left committed to bring joy and peace. Perhaps upon seeing young King Jesus, they felt a new sense of hope, and they then decided to lead and to bring hope for this weary, broken world, perhaps. There are so many stumbling blocks for us on the way to Christmas, aren't there? We all come to worship today with our own fears, worries, griefs, and struggles. We all come longing for a silent holy night. We all come desperate for a little piece of hope to cling to. Well, friends, the good news is that God sent Jesus into the world for exactly that. And by some miracle, or by the light of that wondrous hope-filled star, God brought you here this day. And take the hope Jesus offers you. And like the wise men, may you leave here differently. May you leave here determined to be that hope in the world. Let us pray. For God of Advent and Christmas, thank you for the wise men and the stars. This Christmas and beyond, fill us with the hope of Jesus. Fill us so full that we might overflow with his hope wherever we go. In his name we pray. Amen.